Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for listening. Thanks to sponsors like Making It, NBC. July 31st for hims.com/ADS and True Cars. Well, what's going on, Drewski?
Hey, did you get your pathology results from the doctor?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Why?
Because I had them too. I have them.
Oh, did I tell you I got them?
No, not the results of the colonoscopy, the actual path.
Sorry. Yes.
Such a sad. So you had the colonoscopy, you had the colon polyps. We took them out. We looked at them by the microscope and they looked okay. That's very good news.
I got a text. It's such a sad state of affairs. I got a phone call with a 626 prefix.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, my dad lives around the 626. So I was like, I'm not going to chance it. I was thinking about, like, if I was alive to call my 50-year-old son. And Sonny looked at the phone and went, I don't recognize the number, but it could be my dad. Better not pick it up. I will throw myself into the off a freeway overpass onto the first semi truck I see. Like, I would do that. If I thought for a goddamn second that guy would, like, look at his phone as a dog and go, oh, shit, what's he want? I would fucking kill myself, which is insane. It's insane how many parents are okay with that. Like, just okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there runs the, you know, the gamut of, oh, I had sex with my daughter when she was four. But yeah. Anyway, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving for the next 80 years. We'll see how that feels. Jesus. You know, well, there's that version. Yeah. There's the I beat the shit out of my kid. There's the I was the alcoholic absentee. Yeah. I was how is it okay for you to think? Could you imagine your kids?
No.
I know your daughter thinks you're a douche, but
yeah.
Can you imagine your
son? She still respond.
Can you imagine them, like, your name coming up on their phone and them going, nah.
Yeah?
Not, I'm in the middle of performing a circumcision. I'll have to call my beloved father back. Not just sitting around your house, just looking at the phone. Like, if it said Kevin Hench or Dr. Drew, I would have went, hello? But it could have been my dad.
God.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Turns out the doctor's in Pasadena,
yeah,
and he wanted to give me
the results,
but I wasn't going to risk it.
But he left a message, or
later on, much later in the day, I'd figured out that there was a text message.
Okay,
so I have it on my list to get back to him.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah,
I'll look good. But when you do talk to him, ask maybe 1 year as opposed to three. Just check it out.
I'm going to go for every 30 hours.
You want to do as many as possible?
Well,
you like the rectal bleeding. That was enjoyable.
I gotta say, that was pretty prevalent for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I had this window, but, you know, there's a kind of a math, and it ended up working out, but it normally doesn't, which is have procedure, go home, go to bed, wake up, have dinner, wake up the next day, take a dump, look down, and like, seems fine.
Yeah.
Then go about your day the next day, look down in the toilet, and literally look like someone just took a cup of blood and dumped it in the toilet with nothing else in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, this is something that didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It's happening now.
Right.
And then my brain goes to, I'm not a doctor, but if it wasn't happening overnight and it's happening now,
yeah,
why should it stop?
Correct.
So I then went into that, God, and I went into 6-7 o'clock that night, and it was on, yeah. And then it
stopped.
It stopped.
I was having a hard time not telling you to go to the hospital. Remember,
but I
was
appreciate guy, you with your dignity not telling
no,
me.
No, I was kind of on the margins, but I let your guy make the call, so.
To me, risking dying is you know, that's
one thing.
But the certainty of having to go wait in line and fill out paperwork and get a bracelet.
Yeah, I got it.
And disrobe.
Yeah.
No. So, it worked out. And again, I have this weird threshold for pain, so it's hard to tell exactly what's going on with me because I don't always feel things like I should. In this particular case, it paid off. All right. Let's see. We got calls up there. And, you know, the whole thing, for those of you who are thinking about getting a colonoscopy, the thing, it sort of falls under the heading of hassle, but not painful.
No.
Or I think people have a discomfort associated with it. It's more of a look at it as I got to go to the DMV and renew my license. Kind of like, got to go wait in line. I got to take a cut, you know, take off at lunch, you know, head in. You know, it's like one of those things. Yep. But it's not really – there is no discomfort involved because you're completely passed out. Now, the prep going up to it is a little bit of commitment, but I would argue like running a half a marathon or doing a Tough Mudder or whatever it is, people should periodically fast and go through I don't want to call it a cleanse, but what I'm saying is don't eat out every night.
Yeah.
See if you can do it. See if you can go 20, you know, I went like 30 hours without eating food. And I just kind of want to know I could do it. You know, like, just go ahead and put that challenge in front of you. You'll be better for it. Yes?
Yep.
All right.
And there's metabolic benefits and stuff, too.
So. Doug?
Strangely, there's a question up there about abdominal surgeries and procedures.
Well, okay.
After all this.
Well, let's talk to Chris, 39, San Diego. Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you
doing? First time calling in. Good, thanks. Feeling pretty good today. I got, you know, good pain days and bad pain days. But it was a pretty good pain day so far. But, a couple of my questions were, you know, I've been out of work for a few months. You know, I kind of am an active guy on my feet a lot, and I'm going in for two hernia surgeries first. And, basically I've been losing weight, not being able to eat as much as I have been because I've been kind of sitting on my butt lately. And, yeah, I'm just trying to stay active. But I have a bad knee as well. I have a torn meniscus, so it kind of prevents me from even taking walks or doing stuff like that. And I was just saying, what can I do to kind of, fix myself in the time being until the surgery? Because it's not going to be for probably another few weeks.
How long have you been on these pain meds?
I'm not on any pain meds right now. The only thing I'm taking right now is ibuprofen. For pain, and I smoke cannabis. So that's the only pain stuff that I'm doing.
I think Dr. Drew is probably hearing what I'm hearing, which is like a record that's been slowed down a little bit. Not click to a lower speed, but like someone's dragging their finger on it just a little bit.
Record references anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You do.
Turntable.
I know you guys get a lot of these calls, and this is another thing I wanted to discuss with the doctor, and it's not so much for the abdominal, but the knee coming up. I am going to have to take opiates if it's really crazy painful. And
for the meniscus,
yeah.
Nah.
Yeah,
I've had twice. So there's no pain.
And you're, really? You're talking about minor surgery. You're talking about arthroscopy and endoscopic hernia repairs. Both Adam and I have had these.
Well, Drew is a puss, and he was out of commission for a while.
I was out of commission for 2 days. I didn't take any pain meds, though.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to take for either one of these.
No. And I'm not planning on it. My concern is in the beginning of June, I had 4 years clear of opiates, of which I had about a 6-year problem with them.
Well, that's what Drew and I were hearing.
Cannabis, now you're replacing it with cannabis. You must be smoking a lot of cannabis.
Well, I mean, how much is a lot? Because I smoke about a gram a day, which is all I can afford.
As much as
it helps out.
Yeah. Well, as much as you can afford. Well, how much is a gram a day? I don't know how much that
About $7 to $8, which is, it does get expensive, but it's not crazy.
It's a couple joints, like two decent sized joints probably.
So a joint is half a gram?
Yeah, give or take, I would guess.
That's a lot.
If you break it down into bong hits, it's probably like 10 or 15.
I mean, with the powerful stuff that's out there.
It's powerful.
So that's what we're hearing. We're hearing that slowing you down. So again, you know, you went from one drug to another. You're an opiate addict, so you know you're on cannabis replacement. Okay, how's that working for you? Seems like you're out of work now.
Well, it's been recent. It's been very recent. Like I didn't do any of that till I was out of work, and you know, yeah.
All right, Chris. Let me chime in here. Drew and I, we work. They just came out with a study that said dogs can recognize facial expressions. And anyone who has a dog kind of knows that your dog does know when you're pissed or when you're getting ready to go for a walk.
Pissed, I'm engaged in some research right now with cancer-smelling dogs.
Oh, who could have?
Way into it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Prostate Cancer Foundation is actually funding research in cancer-smelling dogs, and they seem more specific than even the blood test we have. Like, they can tell whether the cancer is, like, indolent or something we should be concerned about. Or even going to become something we should be concerned about.
My mind would be blown if I had not yelled about this 20 years ago.
Yes. Well, you, to be fair, you started with STDs.
I started with STDs, and I moved on to cancer. Yeah. But I told you last show, I don't know why more people don't ask me what I think. But
I ask you all the time.
You do. All right, and I told you, and by the way, what I always told you is what's going on right now. The left's going to swing too hard to the left, like socialist left, and the right's just going to kind of swing back and fill a void with, like, sanity.
You think? Because it's feeling pretty weird right now.
Well,
it's frightening.
The fringes are always going to feel like the majority, because that's the way the news works.
Yeah.
The edges feel like the middle because that's how the news portrays everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But there will be a move toward common sense
pragmatism.
There's more talk about common sense, pragmatism, and just sort of an old fashioned sort of back to basics approach. I've heard more of that talk in the last year than I've heard in the last 20 years.
Where do you hear? Because all I hear about is ideologies. That's all I gets on my radar.
Yeah, I think you see it. I mean, I think you see it in the news. I think when you, first off, you just hear stories like you know you. You hear the news, and the news is, hey, we got kids, and they're tied up in cages and at the border, and woe is me. But then they'll do a poll where it's like 70% of Americans think we should have a secure, tight border. Like, you get to – you ask normal people normal questions, and you'll get normal answers.
All right.
You get the protest, and you get the open borders, and you get the whatever.
Normal people around.
Well, they're
anymore.
Not reported on, but they don't report – they report serial killers, not school teachers who pay their taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that same kind of phenomenon. Like, and then you think everyone's a serial killer.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're being hit over the head with it.
Yes.
Anyway, hey, Chris?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Yeah. All right. So, Dr. Drew and I, dogs can read your facial expressions. We can just hear your voice. Something's going on.
Yeah.
And you got to get back into rehab and start going to meetings. And this sort of pot maintenance thing is not working for you. And you got to get you're focused a little. You have a couple of minor surgeries that, ironically, Drew and I have both been through. And I can tell you, it's a 3 maximum on a 1 to 10 scale. You shouldn't need any opioids afterward. And
you're already planning your relapse.
Huh? You're already planning your relapse.
I'm really not. I'd rather die.
All right. Well, Chris, here's your little window then. You know? Then go to a meeting tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'll do it. I mean, like a.
He's threatening me with with flourishing. you want me to get my college degree? I will. You want me to wait to have kids until after I'm married? All right.
Old man.
You're on. All right, let me tell you.
All right, I'm going to rely on – I'm looking to people, by the way, to help me feel better these days a lot of the time.
Look no further than this podcaster.
I'm just saying.
Making it this summer. I hope this will make you feel better. NBC Parks and Rec stars Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman are crafting television's ultimate creative competition. 8 talented artists will compete for $100,000. I did some show they wanted me to host, like Domestic Showdown or something like that.
Yeah.
And
Domestic showdown.
I remember showing. I remember saying to him, like, "Hey, listen, whoever wins this thing that I'm hosting, we need to give him an Escalade, like a Cadillac Escalade. This thing's got to roll in with a big bow on it or something." And they're like, and it just kept going around. I see these guys are smart making it. They're going to compete for $100,000. We got to the day where they went and they had a Makita cordless drill that's like spray painted gold and like mounted onto a piece of mahogany. And like, here. And I'm like, this looks like the cheapest whore. And they're like, yeah, we know it looks bad. And I'm like, remember 8 weeks ago we had that whole conversation about how bad it was going to look if we didn't blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah. I was like, well, here we are. But not making it.
For real money.
1,000 simoleons. It'll be the funniest crafting competition on TV. I have no idea where the simoleons came from, but Gary will look it up. Anyway, let's not miss the premiere, hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman, after America's Got Talent, Tuesday, July 31st on NBC. All right, Drew, what do you got up there?
Let's see, line 4.
All right, let's see. Okay. Doug, 36, Sacramento.
What's happening?
What's going on?
Did you guys used to have a joke counter on the MTV Loveline show? I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, Dr. Drew had a joke counter.
With different things. Yeah.
He had a counter.
No, one time, remember, it was suspended in the air for a while.
Yeah, it was like a digital counter.
But then
counter.
You also had one that had dust on it. Remember that you'd pull out before they made that one?
I don't remember. I remember making that joke, but I didn't remember.
One was sort of a flip thing with a couple of, you know, it was an earlier on version.
But Drew, and he'd get his one a lot of joke for the year. And, but it was a real joke. And sometimes he'd use it too early in the run, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I remember it, yeah. I was wondering if I just made that up or if that actually happened. Yeah,
no. It was a joke tote, they called it. Remember a joke tote, didn't they call it
yeah.
that?
Yeah, or I called it that.
Yeah.
Simoleons.
I remember Drew called a joke, and then the top came down, and then...
Yeah, hold on. How would you spell simoleons?
I have no idea.
Well, how would you? That's why I said, how
everything
would
I type
you?
In.
S-A-M-O.
Notice I didn't say, how do you? I said, how would you?
S-A-M-O, no. Simoleon.
I'd go S-O-M-O-L.
I assume you already did S-M-O-S-O-L.
I-A-N-S? Huh?
Urban Dictionary has S-A-M-O-L-I-A-N.
Okay.
As money.
It just means money. No, no.
That's what Urban Dictionary
doesn't
has.
Give a etymology or anything.
Give me a moment.
You can keep looking. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Simoleon. Well, now I know it's spelled anyway. You can then look up just so we could do simoleon etymology.
Now, where were we? Oh, did Doug drop off?
No, he was going on.
Oh, he's going on. Is he still on?
Oh, he's gone now.
Oh, is he gone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, Doug. But thanks. And yes, I remember that. I haven't thought about that in a long time. All right. His brother, he's all his daughter, huh? Eric, 32, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having like a little bit of an issue. I have an older brother. I'm the youngest of three. And for years now, my brother has been using my older niece as like the babysitter so he can kind of live the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, he's married as well. Been married actually together with his wife since they were 18 and 15.
And what is the wife? She leaves her children alone with a underage child?
Yeah, yeah. And they go to the bars together, and then they also, you know, they'll come home late, very late.
How old is the oldest child?
She just turned 16 in March.
Okay. So can we report this
to her?
Wait, what's very late?
Probably wrapping up the night at 5 in the morning.
Oh, that's late. So, wait, where are you? Wisconsin. You can wrap it up at 5 in the morning at a bar?
Yeah, we got third shift bars, you know.
Really?
They're open. Yeah.
Well, you know, the reason I say this is I used to babysit frequently when I was 12, 13, 14. Like, I was young, babysit my neighbor and kids, Revy and Ronnie, the Israeli kids, up the street, blah, 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 and... You know, sometimes they'd come home late, but it'd be like 12 or maybe 12:30 or something.
Can you do that anymore legally?
I don't know. I would be fine with a 16-year-old who was responsible watching my kids. But the fact that they're coming home, first off, this isn't we're going to a movie. Yeah. We're going to dinner and a movie, and the movie starts at 10, and we'll be back at 12:15. Yeah. 5 in the morning is, that's her sleeping over.
It's abandonment, yeah.
She should be up and watching TV when you come home.
Yeah.
Right, yes. And there's so many times where in the morning, you know, my nieces are up for, let's say, 4 or 5 hours, and my youngest niece, you know, and, like, making their own breakfast. And, that's fine. That's good that she can do that and does it herself, but it's so frequent where I'm asking my mother. I'm like, you know, I don't want to resent my brother. I don't want to hate him.
How old is he?
Like, this is getting very... He's 36.
Is him and his old lady, are they alcoholics?
Oh, yes. For sure.
I'm going to ask him.
All right.
What do you think, Eric?
I would say he knows how to handle his liquor. He's not a, but yeah, I mean, I would, then I, if I call him one, I would have to call myself one. So I'm not, it's hard to say that.
Okay. Well, the number one marker for alcoholism is resistance to intoxication.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I don't get drunk that easy. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a marker.
That's the number one.
Well, when they took 250 sons of alcoholic fathers, and they tried to find one common quality that would predict the probability that kid would develop alcoholism or has the genetic probability. They looked at everything, sleep patterns and psychological profile and everything. The only predictor was resistance to alcohol intoxication.
Which is brought on by alcohol use
genetic.
Or what is genetic?
Genes.
Oh, lightweight versus heavyweight.
Yeah.
But if I could get that put on my license.
That you're a heavyweight?
Well, Drew, let's just go scientifically here for a second.
Well,
slow down.
Yeah.
I'm saying if there is an actual difference between a lightweight and a heavyweight, this is
opinion,
also something I've always championed as well.
It's my opinion why the alcoholics, when they finally get their DUIs, when it does start to affect their functioning, the levels are
off the
problematic.
Chart.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they get by for a long while using and driving and whatever, and they're not that impaired.
As a heavyweight. Yeah. All right, so Eric, I don't know. Maybe it's time to talk to the Brada about this.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, and if you need to bring Child Protective Services in, you bring them in. Social Services.
Yeah, I wouldn't jump there
but
yet.
But I would go, look, your drinking is affecting your children's well-being.
Well, or their whatever. Who knows what
their
they're
safety,
doing?
Well-being. Now,
I'm talking about. I don't know if it's all drinking. I mean, right. I don't know. You drink. You go out and you drink, and it gets to about 2 a.m. You're ready to come home.
Yeah,
you don't come home at 5 a.m.
Yeah, they're doing stimulants. You're right.
Thank you, vodka and Red Bull. Hey, you got Simoleon?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
But you got it.
I got it.
You got a definition?
Tease it.
Okay. I will talk about him. 66%. Of men start losing their hair by age 35. For Hims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to help you keep the hair you have. Once it goes, it's hard to get it back. So let's keep it now. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims, H-I-M-S, for just $5. While supplies last, it would cost you hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. You can see the website for full details. Go to forhims.com/ADS. That's forhims.com/ADS. What do you got up there, Drew?
Line three.
Oh, Gary, yeah, you.
Only if you want it right now.
I want it.
Okay. The meaning is, it's slang, but the meaning is $1. And they don't exactly know, but the theory here is that it's a combination of two words. It's referring to the Napoleon, which was a French coin worth 20 francs in the late 1800s, which was issued by Napoleon. And then at a similar time in Britain, Simon was the slang for a sixpence. So the theory is that they combined the first part of Simon and the end part of Napoleon and came up with Simoleon.
Nice.
Simone Napoleon.
Speaking of that, Matt, you into a sixpence none the richer at all?
I'm sad to say I do know what song you're talking about.
Me too.
Yeah, it's very romantic.
You know, sometimes you just walk around and you say stupid things in your head repeatedly.
Is that one of them?
I say things like that in my head all the time. Yep. All right. Whoa, three. See, phone three. Line three. Let's talk to Ellington, the Duke of.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Sixpence, none the richer. What's going on from Spokane?
Yeah, from Spokane. I'm. I love the song, by the way.
That's right. We all do.
Yeah. So, I'm doing some research for a book here.
Jesus. We and, all feel old if we found out what year this song was from, right?
Uh-oh.
I pray it's not the 90s. It can't be the 90s.
A little bit, I think this song's a little bit before my time, but yeah, I know it well.
Before my time.
All right.
I'm doing research for a book here, and I've got...
1997? This song's 21 years old? Mm. Oh, man. See, we're old. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. Were they on Loveline?
What's the name of the band?
What's the name of the band?
Sixpence None the Richer.
That's the name of the band.
Thank you, caller.
I thought that was the song. So the answer is no.
Oh, that might be the name.
Oh, we're going off of your ability, your cognitive abilities. All right, ask Giovanni. Go ahead, Ellington.
Yeah, so I'm doing research for a book that's got a character who has what I call a behavioral addiction. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but he. He gets really, really addicted and really focused on being able to watch people die, and it has, you know, it spins out of control, obviously, as the book goes on. And so I did some research on addiction to try to get in the mindset, and I'm wondering, it's a question for both of you. Is there a real big addiction?
That's not an addiction. That's not an addiction.
What's not an addiction?
What he's describing.
Can he ask?
Well, he said there's kind of watching people die addiction.
Well, what was he saying? Yeah, he said, I was wondering.
Yeah.
You're wondering
there's obviously a fiction book here. So I'm wondering, is there a difference between a behavioral addiction generally and the chemical dependency of either how it affects the brain or how people react to it, how people try to hide it, how people try to cope with it, anything like that?
Yes, they're very complicated disorders, and they each have their own characteristic features.
What would you...
Whether you talk about a heroin addiction or a porn addiction, they're different in how they manifest and the kinds of... feelings that people have about it. The brain processes are not all that different, but they're somewhat different.
Thanks, Ellington.
But there's no such thing as watching people dying addiction. That's some weird preoccupation, compulsion, traumatic reenactment, something of that order. Probably a traumatic reenactment would fit what you're looking for best.
You know, what I couldn't be further away from in life? Weird ghoul shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's his name? Is it Rodriguez, the director? It's like, this takes place in a world. It's dark. It's rainy. Everyone has got, like, everyone smokes. Everyone has scars.
You're talking about Sin City, Robert Rodriguez?
That Rodriguez, yeah. But all that shit, it's all just fucking, I don't know, for retarded 11-year-old boys who are, like, struggling with their sexuality or something. I feel the same way about ghoul rock, like when guys are like, like Marilyn Manson, all that fucking kabuki makeup stuff. I'm like, wait, are you guys gay? Like, what is this?
Yeah,
who's this for? It's not for adults, is it?
No.
What is this weird dark world? There's a rock version. There's a movie version. It's like...
Well, even when you just talk about the people's preoccupation with skulls and all that.
It's just a guy wears a skull ring. I'm like, hey, Tard, what the fuck? Like, what are you, 40 or 50? Like, what the fuck are you doing with your skull ring on? And then there's guys like, oh, this is a graphic novel. This is not Spider-Man. This takes place in this world that's dark and it's red. It's like, all right. First off, you're just fucking ripping everyone else off. And then secondly, yeah, we get it. What the fuck?
I'm with you 100%. It seems a little bit like you'd build models or be interested in it when you were like a 6-7-year-old or something.
It feels like a 12-year-old boy who's like struggling with his sexuality, except for you're 50 and you're talking about this graphic novel that takes place in this world that's dark and everyone's hard-edged and everyone's – and it's like – it feels weirdly homoerotic, a little too homoerotic, and it's also like – I don't know. It's not creative to just say it's dark and it's raining and everyone's in a shitty mood. You're just fucking jacking off into a fan at this point.
I don't understand what that is.
I don't even know what it is, but knock it the fuck off. And assholes who support it, please stop. They keep creating this shit because you keep going to the concerts. Go see someone who's good, not someone who makes you feel that you're somehow going to resolve issues with your stepdad. Oh, God. The worst is when Marilyn Manson does Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics. It's like the worst fucking song and the worst rendition of the worst song. And it's like, I don't even know what it is. Anyone who's into it, if you're fucking older than 13, knock it the fuck off. Would you? And please stop reading those stupid comic books. And please, with all the fucking, it's a dark world and the guy's got a troubled past and he hits the booze pretty hard and he's a smoker. It's like, knock it off. It's weird. And it's also the opposite of creativity. It's not that smart. It's all done. Oh, the chick's bosomy with a tight waist and a big, like, yeah, we get it. Everyone's hot. Yeah. The guys are muscle bound, but all they do is drink and smoke. Like, they never
sort of weirdly comic book like, right?
It's comic book meets. I'm overcompensating with my sexuality. Like, I do not have a handle on my cock.
Or aggression. Aggression and sexuality, right? Sort of mixed together.
Mixed with, I could do this. Mixed with, this is someone else's song. They already came out with it. It sucked. Once. Now it's going to suck again. Does anyone have a nephew that couldn't handle this song? All right. You're angry, I get it, but why do we have to be punished? Go confront your dad. Why do we get punished?
Go confront your dad.
Well, whatever happened to you, go figure it out. Leave me alone.
Car tips you might not
and
know,
stop
everybody.
Stop buying tickets, everybody. Jesus Christ. Right.
Join the Juggalos. They at least do it creatively.
Yes, join the Juggalos.
Get excess weight. Right?
I guess.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Well, look, how about seeing a band that doesn't wear almost any makeup? It's a novelty.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it, just go all the way. Right?
Yeah, if you're going to do it, just go all the way. Yeah. All right.
Get excess weight out of your car. Improve your gas mileage that way. Keep fob to your chin. Increase range. Here's another tip. True Car, used cars. That's right. With a True Car certified dealer network nationwide, nearly 1 million used cars available on that nationwide inventory. Real pricing you'll enjoy on an actual inventory. You'll see the price scattergram. You'll see what other people are paying for the car you want, so you know you're getting a good deal. It's a simpler buying experience, whether you are buying new or used. See what others paid, lock in a fair price, enjoy a faster buying experience, and you connect with that True Car certified dealer, it's always faster. So, again, it's newer used, it's simpler, it's confident because you've locked in a price you know for actual inventory on a True Car certified dealer's lot, whether it's new or used, check out True Car and enjoy that more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Everyone, just go to True Car, get a white Prius.
Yeah.
Call it life, would you please? Stop being a ghoul.
Well, isn't it? Do you get the feeling I do that cars are becoming not something that particularly young people aren't that interested in because they don't want one? They want to drive Uber. They want Uber Air when it comes out. They're just not into cars the way our generation was.
Not a good sign.
Bad sign for humanity.
I've told you repeatedly, I'm not kidding. When you talk about all the craziness on the right, all the craziness on the left, all the craziness and all the thing, I don't know what's going on. Not a car guy amongst them.
Yeah.
I shall, as you hear this, I'm in Goodwood. I'm hanging out with 150,000 like-minded folks who just want to live on this planet and appreciate people's stuff. And they love it. And I don't know any bad car people. They have something they like. It's tangible. It's physical. They like working there. They like to appreciate others, and they like others to appreciate theirs. And I will be in a place where people will be drinking tons of beer, and there'll be 150,000 people. There will not be one scuffle, one word said, no politics. It's all about appreciating the cars. Don't know any bad car guys. I really don't.
To take your model, maybe something else will replace it, something similar.
Mopeds.
What are those scooters? Those weird two teeth? What are they
called?
Birds.
One of many reasons I'm glad I'm not on the west side. They're all over the place. That sounds awesome. Bunch of stoners flying at you like tracer rounds. PC One, Podcast One, No Excuses with John Taffer. Check out my friend, No Excuses with John Taffer, that podcast. At Podcast One and Apple Podcasts as well. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Lots of live shows coming up and chassis offerings, H-A-S-S-Y in there. Speaking of car guys, the Indian Wrecking Crew narrated by Jay Leno. So there you go. Check that out. Drew, what do you got?
Go to Dr.com. Sign up for the contact list, please. We'll answer emails there on the various podcasts and get a newsletter and you get that opium series, which is very interesting, nearly complete.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.